You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode. My guest in this episode, rather an interesting story, this one. So my guest is Seamus. Seamus is from Staines-upon-Thames, which is on the outskirts of leafy Surrey, but as he describes it, with a gust of wind in the form of Heathrow Airport. Seamus is married to a nurse. He's got five children. This he puts down to satellite reception being poor five times. He's always been active, taking part in various sports, including being an England table tennis player during teenage years. He has always played football, although weirdly, after getting married, he put on weight. Seamus then one day stepped on the scales and was horrified at the number. I know many of us have been in that exact situation. It wasn't that Seamus was eating typical healthy foods. It wasn't that Seamus wasn't eating typical healthy foods. There was always lettuce, salad, veg, and so on the plate. It was just the crisps, the cakes, the sweets, and the takeaways, usually on the way home from after football. They're what had done the damage. So Seamus decided that enough was enough, and he began to take control of his food intake. He upped his exercise regime. During this time, a friend suggested that Seamus should become a personal trainer, as he was helping a wife's friend to lose weight. And that resulted in a career change. After almost 20 years in the motor trade, Seamus made the move, and as of September 2018, he qualified as a personal trainer. Now, so far so good, standard story, but here's the really interesting thing. Seamus used to be gym phobic. And we're going to find out a lot more about that in a moment, but Seamus, like many of us, used to really have stuff about going to the gym. He used to be gym phobic, the term he uses himself. Which means he's got an insight into what it's like for so many of us in the population. And he takes that into account in the way in which he works with his clients. And that's why I knew we had to get him on this show. Because it's not the usual, oh, I used to be unfit and then I became fit and you should too and I can help your story. This is someone who's done all that, having come from a place of being afraid of the gym. That's my guest today, Seamus Dougherty. Seamus, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Keith, yourself?
I am very good, thanks. Very good. Great to have you here. So, yeah, gym phobic. Tell me about that. What was kind of going on there?
I was always one of those perennial people that would sign up to a gym in January. Best intentions going, and when I joined, I'd go one day and it'd be mega, mega busy and it would be a bit off-putting. So I'd then try and find all the nights or the evenings or go at some silly o'clock in the morning where there was no one there. And obviously you can only do that for a certain amount of time, you know, when you're fitting in the kids and the family and everything. So yeah, I was one of those ones who'd sign up and then 6 weeks later, never to be seen again. I'd either done a 6-month contract or 12 months. So it was a complete waste. So lots of people will identify with that, you know, set New Year's resolutions, and before you know it, I'll do it next year. I'll start again next year, and it's very often.
Yeah, I get you. So I mean, you say it was gym phobic. So is this more than simply being a bit lazy, signing up with the best of intentions, and then kind of just not actually getting around to it? There was a bit more to it than that.
Yeah, the intention was there, but worried about what people would say. What, you know, back then I was very chubby, so I was really body conscious. So the idea of going to the gym and you see all these mirrors, you see yourself in the mirror. B, when you're on a piece of machinery, you're lifting up a weight, you'd be looking in the mirror and you might just catch someone else's eye and you think, well, my God, they're staring at me. They're watching me. And actually, it might just be a simple glance or a catch in the eye sort of thing. So I'd be worried about that. And then when people have their phones out, you know, thinking, oh, are they taking pictures? Are they texting their friends saying, oh, we've got this chubby guy here, he's really funny, he can't lift this weight? And do all these things go through your head? And more so, and it's not just people who are chubby, but obviously people who need to put on weight may well be feeling the same thing. But it was all that surrounding. And at the time, I would always stick to the same three or four pieces of equipment. Now, you know, obviously in personal training sessions, you kind of need variety. But I was sticking to the same three or four because I felt safe and I felt secure, but I wasn't getting anywhere. So it was almost a case of, well, I'm not actually getting any further. So what's the point? And these people are looking at me in the mirror, and I didn't want to get a shower or change there because, you know, you see these guys with athletic bodies, they'd laugh at me because my belly would be overhanging. And it's all those stupid things. But at the time, I say stupid, very real. And it still is a very real challenge for lots of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a common thing. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, I couldn't go down to the gym because I'm fat, and they're all going to be looking at me and laughing at me."
Yeah.
And I guess it's not helped with certain parts of social media, certain areas of social media these days, where you get people who post these oh-so hilarious shots of, "Oh, look, here's a fat person at the gym. Let's all point and laugh at them," which.
Yeah.
I guess that really doesn't help either. I mean, how?
No, not.
Obviously, that's really going to be off putting, as you say, which is ridiculous, because surely the whole point of going to a gym is, yes, you go to a gym as an overweight or an underweight person so that you can achieve that good body. How, in your experience, because now you're a personal trainer and so on, in your experience, how common is it that other people are looking at who's going to the gym and judging people? I mean, does it happen much?
You're always going to get some idiots in the gym, just as you might get some idiots in the supermarket, in a car park, in the school playground. There are going to be idiots. But primarily, you know, from what I'm doing now, I do realise that the mirrors aren't there. Some ego people who look at themselves and how good they look. But for most people, it's about looking at what their form is. So like when you're doing an exercise, you can make sure that your back's straight. You can make sure that you're upright. That's what the mirror is for. And that's what you should, you know, whether you're a beginner, whether you're used to machinery, whether you're an experienced pro, that mirror is more of a guidance of form. And if you see yourself leaning to one side, your back's not quite straight, then you auto-correct. It's hard to do that sometimes when you don't have a visual or you don't have someone there saying, "Straighten your back." Mm-hmm. So use the mirrors for that. Certainly with the phones, yeah, some people might be on their Instagram or their Facebook, but actually a lot of people are using their phones because they've got their workouts on their phone. And the one thing that people should always do when they're working out is keep track of what they've actually done. So if you're going into the gym and say, "Right, today's a leg day and I need to do X, Y, Z and I need to progress that weight. I know what I done last week, so this week I'm doing 3 sets of 12. This is the weight," and so in between each set, they're actually recording that, and then so that is, and obviously between each set, you need to have a rest, a natural rest. Yeah. So they're using that natural rest to update their training, and then go on to the next set. So they're not texting them out saying, "Oh, you should see what I'm looking at right now."
I think that's two major points that you make there, and let's just go back over each of them, just because it's so easy to kind of gloss over it. But I think you make some really major points there. One is the mirrors, which I know I admit, hands up, I don't go to gyms these days. Probably never will, but hey, that's life. For some people, for many people, it is a really good thing to go to the gyms. I know in the old days when I used to go, one thing that used to really put me off was, as you say, the mirrors everywhere. And it was that whole, "Oh, people can see what I'm doing." But you point out the reason for the mirrors there is to help you when you're doing your exercises.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for example, I give you might be doing an upright row, and the idea being you kind of almost need to be bent over with the back completely straight. So the back's not actually doing the work. You're pulling the arm up so that the back's in a controlled state. And so when you do that, it's quite easy to kind of raise your back just slightly. So you go up to sort of 15, 20 degrees to get the full amount. You want to be flat. Whereas if you're looking in the mirror and you're looking side on to the mirror, you can see whether your back's going up. And so you can actually adjust it during the exercise rather than someone saying at the end, "Actually, your back was coming up. So, you know, that set was a bit of a waste."
Or even worse,
the same,
was going to say, or even worse, your back then telling you the next day, I wasn't in the right position. You go,
yes. Yeah, yeah. And it's not all about the amount of weight you can carry. It's about technique. Technique will win every day of the week over, you know, most of the people in the gym could probably use half the weight and correct their form, and they would still get the same benefits. In fact, then their back would love them in 10, 15 years' time.
Got it, right. So the mirrors are there so that you can make sure you're doing things right. You're not bending your back when you shouldn't be and all these things. Which, I guess, means when you've got, you'll always see people are looking in the mirrors, and it's not that they're preening themselves or worse, sneaking a glance at what you're doing. They're simply focusing on what they're doing. So, of course, they're going to be looking at the mirrors. So that's why they're all looking.
Yeah, in your everyday life, you walk down the road and you're naturally going to glance at someone. You don't walk down the road looking at the pavement. You're naturally going to catch someone's eye. That's just part and parcel. But obviously in the gym, when you have that hang up and that's part of your phobia, it's a big deal. You think they're looking at you. You think there's an issue. You think there's a problem. So you kind of got to try and realise that that's not what it's there for. Easier said than done.
Sure.
I knew that at the start, but I still felt that occasional glance was actually, no, they're watching me for 10 seconds. So then my rest period or whatever I used as rest period at the time would be longer because I'd be waiting for them to move on or stop looking.
Yeah.
So I wasn't getting up, my workout wasn't a fully fledged workout. I'd be taking bits and pieces here and trying to get into a corner where no one could see me. Pointless.
Whereas I guess the reality is people aren't going to be looking at you in the gym. In fact, if anything, the reality is worse. They're not even going to be paying attention to you at all. They're not even going to notice they're there. You're there because they're just in the zone focusing on what they are doing.
Definitely. And you know, lots of people wear headphones and listen to their music. And pretty much that's it. They go into a workout or a session and they are in the zone.
Yeah.
They don't care whether there's 20 people in there or 200. As long as they can get onto their piece of equipment and they're not being moved out of the way or everything, they've got their space, they are in the zone and they're making the most of their 45 minutes or an hour in a session that they can.
Got it. I guess as you say, it's easy to say this. It's harder to kind of really get it. But I guess one way we can do it is if you go to the gym, once you finish there, and you've left the gym so you can't cheat and see it, just task yourself with, okay, what was the person two machines down from me wearing? What was the person on my right-hand side? What were they doing? And you'll quickly realize, no, I've no idea. And then you'll realize, well, that's going to be the same for everyone else, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, if someone comes in and they've got flaming red hair, that's the kind of things you notice, but you've noticed that in the supermarket, you've noticed that in the school playground or walking down the road.
But in general,
you wouldn't be thinking, well, they're probably wearing gym gear, but you wouldn't. So you've got to get yourself into belief that this is your 45 minutes in the gym. You are going to concentrate fully on yourself. And even if it means you're standing in front of the mirror looking at yourself and you're not doing the glancing, I mean, it's natural. So, it's something you've got to get over initially. And then after that, once you start feeling confident, you quite happily look around and it almost struck your stuff. Not in a kind of ego way, but just as in, I'm confident in myself. I'm confident I'm here and I'm confident in what machinery or weight I'm using.
Yeah. And the other important thing you mentioned was about phones. So many people there have phones.
Yeah.
Because they got their exercise programs on their phone. They're tracking what they're doing. They got prompts to remind themselves what settings each of those things should be at. And I guess they're also timing those important rest periods as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you ask someone to count to 30 seconds without a timer, most people struggle. You can't ask them to count to 10 seconds. Very few will get bang on 10.
Yeah.
The rest period itself is just as vital as the exercise. You know, rest and recovery is paramount. Tracking what you've done, what you've got, machine you've got to go into next, what weight you've got to go on to. If someone said, well, you've got 10 exercises, a typical whole body workout might consist of 10 exercises. Unless you've got a super memory, you're not going to remember those from the minute you go into the gym till you get to your last one. And you might miss a weight, you might do a wrong, you know, it's not all the sessions aren't in typical three sets of 10 reps. It could be a different kind of setup. So you kind of got to say, well, okay, in this one, I'm doing X, Y, Z. On my next one, I'm doing X, Y, Z. And you, it's handy to have that as a template. And obviously some people do online training. So they might not necessarily train with me face to face, but they may come to me for guidance as to, I need to progress. What do I need to do in the gym? So we set up a 3 month, 6 month plan for them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to remember that. So they need it. No. So, and they can use the phone. And there's, you know, sometimes there's guides on what you can do, videos on how to do the best set, how to best use that piece of machinery. So, yeah, some people might use it for Instagram and Facebook, but actually, do you know what? Most people are just using it as a reminder of, this is where I am. Yeah. This is where I need to be. And this is what I need to do next.
Got it. I guess those who are using it for Instagram, 99.9% of the time, it's because they want to go, hey, look at me at the gym, rather than look at everyone else. Because the people who do that sort of thing aren't going to be, look at everyone else. It's, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, I mean, you've only got to go, I mean, you know, I, there's lots of people I follow on the Instagram, and, you know, they are body beautiful, and yeah, but they're taking pictures galore of themselves. And do you know what? If you get to that point and you feel that confident, whether you can take a picture of yourself in the gym, crack on.
Absolutely.
As long as it's just, you know, if it's of yourself, who's to say, well, no, sorry, you can't take a picture of yourself, but people aren't, as you say, people aren't interested in what the guy two machines down is wearing or what he looks like. But the reality is that when at that start point, that's not what you think.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And interesting. So I guess when we do workouts, do we have to work out at the gym, or are there other ways in which we can?
No, very much so. My initial thing was to actually train outside. Now, I'm quite fortunate that down here in Surrey and West London, there are a plethora of outdoor gyms. And they're usually brightly coloured, kind of fluorescent yellow or fluorescent green. Not half as many people should be using them. You tend to get more kids of an evening climbing on them and all that sort of stuff. But there's lots of stuff you can do outside in those. There's lots of stuff you can do in your home. I mean, 95% of my clients are either based, be trained at home. If their spare room is big enough, if they've got a large enough sitting room, and you can imagine some of the houses in Surrey, their hallways are larger than my sitting room.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do training in all sorts of places that doesn't involve the gym at all. So I kind of bring the gym to them into an area where they feel comfortable, mm-hmm. where they're in their own zone. And that allows them to be a bit more efficient. You know, they've taken away that fear, that worry of other people. And it's their space and their territory. And therefore, they already feel a lot more confident. They still might have the body doubts of, you know, that they might be skinny, they might be a bit of excess fat that they need to lose. They've still got those hang-ups, but now they don't have that added pressure of a mirror of other gym users who look like they've been training for years and it's spectacular. They haven't got that as a kind of pressure. So yeah, gyms are fantastic, and they're a focal point to move on to. Mm-hmm. But actually, do you know what? You can still look fantastic and still feel fantastic without stepping foot in a gym.
Right. So you can do it from the comfort of your own home. I say comfort. I mean, when probably doesn't feel that comfortable in your big but yeah, you can do it from the safety of your own home. Does that mean you'll would need to fork out a fortune on multi-gym home equipment and all this sort of thing?
No. Initially, when I started, a lot of it was body weight, mm-hmm. and there was so much you can do with body weight. And it's all about technique. And certainly when you're carrying a bit of extra weight, it's the best time to do the body weights, because you're actually using that weight as the added. You're using yourself as that weight, and therefore you don't have to pay for anything. And then it is literally just about consistency, technique. And before, and as long as you're eating healthily as well,
obviously,
as long as you're doing that, you will see results. And then the rest of the stuff, you can pick up things at car boot sales, marketplace on Facebook, Gumtree. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be expensive. doesn't have to be expensive. So you don't have to start getting pieces of machinery that actually turn out to be glorified wardrobes.
Yeah, yes.
I remember in my youth, I had a fantastic multi-gym, which I used for about a month, and then it was my own official wardrobe.
Yeah. Yeah, the number of times those things end up as wardrobes or as clothes horse or just up the garage, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, if someone were looking to kind of just start getting into fitness and so on, what's some simple steps they could take just to start them, get them going?
Firstly, identify what you're eating. You can't out-train a bad diet. So you could go to the gym 5 days a week, but if your choice of foods are poor and you're drinking lots of beers, etc., going to the gym isn't going to help you. That was my problem. I used to go to play football on a Sunday night and I'd stop off at a KFC on the way home. So I thought I'd earned that right.
Yeah.
Actually, I probably only lost about 300 calories and then I was putting in 600-700.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a false economy. But certainly identify with what you're eating. Some people like to go to the extreme and count calories. I know at the beginning that can be quite scary and people think, well, that's too much effort. So just make a conscious effort of things in moderation. I'm not one of these people that say, well, you've got to cut out chocolate, you've got to cut out cake, you've got to cut out everything. Just tailor it down. Just taper it down. Mm-hmm. Introduce walking into your daily life. Now, 10,000 steps is usually a good guide, but 3 10-minute brisk walks. I know some people can't, I've just done a massive walk at the weekend. No one's going to be able to do that. But just 3 10-minute walks a day, it can be huge. And it can just bring in an extra 2,000-3,000 steps using stairs instead of elevator. Yeah, and if you're on the 56th floor, okay, right, you might want to use the elevator because 56 floors is quite a trek. But first floor, fourth floor, just take a walk. You don't have to race up it.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to a nice casual walk, and then just start doing some body weights. Simple things like squats, lunges. These are all the things that you just need to space that you're standing in. So you don't need to be doing lots of running around. You don't need to do mad burpees. People hate burpees and they're worried about that. Or press ups. I can't do a press up. I can't do a pull up. Lots of these body weight exercises are exercises that are actually in the space that you're standing.
Right.
So basically, you might just need space to where you can put your arms out.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So yeah, bodyweight exercises thrown in there as well. And 2 or 3 weeks, you'd probably start seeing a benefit. Now, you're not going to go overnight, going from someone who like when I was 18 stone, I wasn't going to lose my belly overnight. But your body will start loving you for it, and then you start getting more energy. And then when you start getting more energy, you can start making the workouts a little bit more intense. You can start going a little bit longer. Your 10-minute walks suddenly become 15, 20-minute walks.
All right.
When you come back from the supermarket, you're actually carrying the shopping back the whole way rather than stopping halfway, having a breather, and then coming back again. So all little things, that just minor little changes. Some people can go into this sort of thing and make massive changes straight away.
Yeah.
A fair play to them. But the average person needs to make small incremental changes. So 1 or 2 changes a week, and before you know it, by the end of the year, you've made 100 small changes, which collectively are huge.
Yeah.
And by the time you even got there, you will have noticed the difference. So,
All right.
Small and often.
Yeah, small and often. I like that. And as you say, each tiny little change builds up into something massive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
Now, I know. I've got one other question for you. I know people talk a lot about losing weight, and people talk about losing fat. It's weight loss and fat loss. I know there's some confusion about those. A lot of people think it's the same thing, and they go, "Well, I've lost fat. Why haven't I lost weight?" Or vice versa. What is the difference between weight loss and fat loss?
Can you weight loss can be a combination of both fat loss and muscle mass. Now, lots of people initially say, I need to lose weight, And, you do need to lose weight, but we don't want to compromise and lose muscle at the same time as the fat. So what you would normally do is, when you're trying to lose weight, is do lots of resistance or strength training. Now, people get scared about that. They think, well, I don't want to start lifting weights. Lifting weights just helps your muscle mass remain. So you would still do that. And at the same time, that helps to burn fat. So I'm big on fat loss because we can strip the fat, keep the muscle. And once you have a strong muscle and your muscle is getting bigger, that actually burns more calories than the muscle before.
Right.
So you want to keep, so you definitely want to be keeping the muscle because the muscle is what's keeping us working.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk down the road, it's not your bones that, obviously your bones have got to be strong. Weight training, strength training, resistance training does that as well. But the muscles attached to them need to be strong as well. If you start losing lots of that muscle mass, then suddenly you start becoming weaker. And then you might be losing weight, but carrying that bag of shopping becomes harder. Right. Getting out of bed becomes harder, and everything becomes a bit more of a tool. So yeah, you're losing weight, but not in a healthy way that your body's thinking, yeah, this is great. Your body's actually thinking, it's great that you've lost weight, but actually I'm struggling. So losing fat is paramount. And you don't want to strip it down way too far because, believe it or not, we kind of need a bit of fat on our body. You know, certainly bodybuilders and everything, they strip right down because they need to look to an extreme. But your average person, we do need fats to survive. When we're eating fats, we need to eat fats to survive. It's just the excess that's bad. But
but
there is a difference between actual weight loss and fat loss. And there are lots of fad diets out there that label it as a weight loss when actually, and people don't like to think of fat loss. Fat loss is it's almost a dirty word, but actually that's what we all want. We want fat loss.
Right. Okay. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Well, James, it's been fascinating chatting with you, and I know I've learned a few things about the gym and why things are the way they are, and how we can get started easily and cost effectively. If people want to find out more about you, what you do, perhaps you can look at how they might even be able to work with you, because I know you work with people online and so on as well.
Yep.
What's the best website for them to get a hold of you?
If they go to www.shayfit, that's shayfit.co.uk, grab me there. All the social media channels are on there. Cool. Telephone number. Happy to have a chat. You know, it's not a case of if you ring me, we've got to do business. A lot of people that I speak to just need that kind of just gentle nudge and advice. And, you know, sometimes that's often enough for people to actually make a change.
Brilliant. So that's www.shayfit.co.uk.
That's all right.
Also, Seamus is all over social media, and if you go to the show notes for this episode on the main website, keithblakemorenoble.com, go to the radio show section and find this episode. You find the show notes there. You'll find all of Shay's social media details there as well. Plus, he's got them on his website too, www.shayfit.co.uk. Well, Seamus, thank you so much for taking time out to discuss this with us.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Pleasure. Well, I've certainly found it interesting. I know a lot of other people will have find it interesting too. Thank you, dear listener and dear viewers, for joining us. That's it for this episode. We'll be back again with another episode very soon. But in the meantime, I will leave you with Seamus's favorite quote. We're going to need a bigger boat.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.